You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome to a very controversial and a very thought-provoking episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Pablo for today.
It's funny, sometimes I can just tell that's where you're going with your introduction of your name. Anyways, just the way your voice kind of changes. I'm Rob, and this is episode 643, and as always, we are glad that you are spending a little bit of time with us. We really do appreciate it.
We do appreciate it, and today we're going to have a little conversation about state law versus federal law, why North Carolina could be barking up the wrong tree, but why you should always investigate state laws before you fly in different areas. Today's podcast is brought to you by, we actually have a lot of new sponsors that are just about to hop on board, but today's podcast is brought to you by the friends at our DroneU community. If you need a resource to look up state law by state, well, that's on the site too. So make sure you check it out, thedroneu.com. It is members only content. If you're not a member, well, why aren't you? Anyway, Rob, play that question.
That's right. Nicely said.
Hello, guys. I found out yesterday that in order for me to fly a drone here on North Carolina commercially, I need to pass another test. So I'm studying for the 107, and then I need to pass the NCDOT UAS knowledge test, according to their website, government website. And then I had to apply for a state permit if I want to fly a drone here commercially. I need to get the commercial operator's permit. That's what it says here on the website. And if you're coming from California, do you have to also get all this and pass this test? And do you need to get the state permit to fly drones here? Because I'm planning to also fly a drone for a wedding in Florida 2 months from now. Do I have to find out what are the rules down there first on the state level? I think it's like maybe too much. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Vic, thank you very much for the question. And yeah, that's a lot to navigate, Paul, trying to figure out, because there are a lot of drone pilots who are starting businesses. They're having some success. They're going from state to state doing jobs, and the rules can be different everywhere.
They can. Now, remember, people can control where you can take off and land from, but there is only one body that controls the airspace. Do you know who that is, Rob?
That would be the FAA.
That is so correct. In fact, there is a really good paper on this whole issue with, you know, North Carolina. North Carolina is in a, God, they're in a their own weird, wacky position right now. In most other states, you are not going to have anywhere near the problems that you would with North Carolina. In fact, if you are a drone operator and you live in North Carolina, you've got to deal with a bunch of stuff that has yet to be challenged in court, but as soon as it would be struck down instantaneously. I mean, it is clear as glass as far as cases go, in my opinion, but we're here to talk about that. So before we go into that, if you're traveling to other states like California or Colorado, you can't fly in state parks there. You have to get a permit. Permits are plausible. In fact, Colorado has actually been really cool about permits. In fact, Vic has gotten many permits in Colorado. California is another bear in its own.
Mm-hmm. Typical.
Yeah, typical California.
Beautiful place, but
there's always the but. But North Carolina is in a very unique position because North Carolina states that you're supposed to have a North Carolina drone permit. Mm-hmm. And they say that you're supposed to have a permit in order to fly there. But there are just an astronomical amount of problems with that. I'm not sure that the state of North Carolina had looked up the supremacy clause before they wrote up that law.
That's a big word.
I know. I can read it out for you if you want there, Robbo. Supremacy clause. Anyway, the reason I say that North Carolina may have an issue, essentially, if there's a conflict of preemption, so you guys know the preemption clause with the FAA, they have essentially all the rights to control the airspace. No one else does, period. Mm-hmm. Now, DHS definitely has something to do with that. So does the military. And there are places that you cannot fly.
Sure.
But when compliance with both federal and state law is impossible, or when the state acts as an obstacle to what Congress intended, the law can be preempted. So I could not find a case where someone is preempting or someone is challenging the state of North Carolina to say, you do not have the authority to write out drone permits. There is one federal license. There is not a state by state license. If that were the case, every state would have a state license, just like a driver's license. But you notice there is no federal driving license.
Correct.
That's state by state. But in the drone world, there is a federal license to fly throughout the United States because one body controls everything.
Right.
So that being said, I haven't seen someone challenge the North Carolina government for this. Now, before you guys think that I'm just super anti-North Carolina, which is kind of true, they do have good intentions. They are trying to make a point to educate people. They are trying to make a point to do things, but they're also doing a whole lot of stuff they should not be doing.
Such as? You're going to go into that?
Well, first of all, in order to have a blanket, you need a permit to fly anywhere. That goes against 14 CFR 107. That's
a direct
violation of 14, because in 14 CFR 107, it says any commercially licensed pilot can fly in Class G airspace wherever they want, as long as they are yielding to aircraft. I mean, obviously, there are caveats to this. But one thing I really want to say, in fact, let me get to this. So I'm going to link this document to you guys, which I think is really important. Here's the thing. So the FAA has also explicitly addressed the issue in the NPRM by including a certification requirement for operators. As a result, it has clearly stated its intent to regulate this matter with respect to UAS. Since any licensing would appear to be directly related to air safety, it is likely a court would find this type of law to be preempted by federal law. So they're talking about what type of law. They're talking about any state law. So they're saying that if any state or territory passed the state's knowledge test for operating an unmanned aircraft, which supposedly NC does. So here's the thing. If you go to North Carolina and you are a Part 107 holder, can you legally fly in Class G airspace as long as you have private property permission and whatnot? Yes, you can. If you were to get in trouble with the local police, which this has happened, they could arrest you, stating that state law says, well, no, you can't do this.
Right.
That's why you've got to have the drone pilot field kit, dronepilotfieldkit.com. And maybe even a copy of the supremacy clause and say, well, Mr. Officer, hold on a second. Let's have a conversation before you jump to assumptions or jump to conclusions. And let's discuss the federal law. And let's discuss the supremacy clause. Now let's discuss the commerce clause, which says no state may get in the way of international transport or international commerce, essentially, which they are doing by saying that, well, if you come to North Carolina, you've got to get your own license and you've got to get your own thing and you've got to do this and you got to do that. No. There is 14 CFR 107. It is federal law. The federal law preempts state law. You cannot make state law for something you don't control. Now, could the state control where you take off and land from? Yes, they can, but they cannot control the airspace.
Such as state parks and those kinds of, but couldn't they just do some, effectively apply that concept to their entire state in terms of controlling where you can take off and land? Is that not effectively what they're doing?
Like what Florida did with their state parks, but Florida actually worked with us and they were super cool and like super helpful. And I mean,
so I guess the reason that, for example, North Carolina couldn't apply that concept of controlling where you take off and land across, you know, just blanketing their whole state is because there's privately owned land.
Yeah, but then you get into the question of, are they, and it's, in fact, it's in this paper, which we'll link here, are they getting in the way, not only of commerce, but are they getting in the way, reform your question, sorry.
Well, my question is does North Carolina, because what you did say, and I guess I'm playing devil's advocate here, what you did say is that North Carolina has the option of controlling where you take off and land.
True.
Right? Such as a state park.
But federal law.
Could they blanket the whole state somehow using that opportunity to do?
I'm sure they could, but until it's challenged in court, you know, people will go along with it. But in fact, at the conclusion of this specific paper, which talks about state law versus federal law, it is important to note that while federal preemption of state and local laws is important, there are several other constitutional issues associated with that are important. For example, some believe that certain state laws could violate First Amendment rights of freedom of speech or freedom of the press, particularly with the regard by the UAS by the media. Okay. Others have suggested that the Commerce Clause of the Constitution may preempt certain state laws. The Commerce Clause, which gives Congress the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the individual tribes, has been used by courts to strike down state laws that impact other transportation industries. For example, Castle versus Consolidated Freightways, which actually my dad worked on that case for Consolidated Freightways back in the day. So this is really coming full circle for me. The Supreme Court held that an Iowa statute which prohibited the use of a 65-foot double trailer trucks within its borders, but allowed the use of a 55-foot single trailer trucks and 60-foot double trailer trucks impermissibly burdened interstate commerce, as the evidence suggested that the longer trucks were as safe as the shorter trucks. So essentially, unless the... And here's the thing. If you go to North Carolina, could you have a problem? Yes. Why? People have, and no one has challenged the North Carolina government. In fact, recently, North Carolina's government was working with DART Drones, and they were trying to create this educational program throughout the state to educate people, which is why I said they had good intentions. The guy that we worked with was very nice, very good. But then I just sat there and thought to myself, why would we give money to someone that's directly violating federal law? Because that's what they're doing. I mean, there is a clear document that says federal preemption with UAS laws and makes it clear as glass. Go ahead.
Why do you think the FAA is letting it happen?
Because they don't have the time or the money to enforce it.
Okay.
Or maybe it's not a high priority. I don't know. I'm not the FAA as much as...
No, I mean, it's asking you to speculate. I understand.
True. That. And as much as they're asking me to be a very significant part of the FAA, which you know what I'm talking about, I don't know. I don't want to have my hands tied behind my back, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And I don't want to be... I can understand a lot of operators. They don't want to be the guy out there that takes a job in North Carolina and then the police show up because some angry old lady is like, that drone is flying over my house and looking at my daughter in my pool, when they don't have a pool or a daughter. So, and I mentioned the David Boggs case. If that were to happen and the police were just not very educated about the subject and not willing to discuss the real law behind this, yes, you could have a problem. But until someone challenges the North Carolina state government, you could have problems. And don't forget, guys, even though North Carolina does not have the authority to control airspace, they can control where you can take off and land. So... you've got to be really careful when you have these arguments. And also when you're dealing with police, so important, so important to be respectful. So important just to try to level with them and say, look, before you assume that I'm doing something wrong, let me pull out this document. I'm going to read the law to you. Okay. Make your interpretation therein and you do whatever you're going to do. But please allow me to present my case in front of you, because at the end of the day, you do interpret the law. And at the end of the day, 3 days in jail because you guys want to hold me for questioning could ruin my life. I mean, they literally did a Freakonomics episode on how 4 to 5 days in jail can completely ruin someone's life.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, if you don't make a lot of money and you're paid a certain like bi-monthly and you've got... and all of a sudden you've got direct auto pay out of your checking account, and all of a sudden your car payments aren't being made and your house payments aren't being made and your bills aren't being made, you can get in significant, you know, in really significant financial trouble.
Sure.
And whether you're rich, poor, or in between, I really struggle with that, because at the end of the day, you could be detained for very minor things depending on the interpretation. And I ask all of you public safety officers out there, I know that a lot of things can go wrong and emotions can run wild, and it can seem that one particular issue is the case, and in all actuality, another particular issue is the case. But I just ask you from the bottom of my heart, we are all humans. We are all humans. And if you give someone a chance to to converse. You give someone a chance to explain what they're doing, and I don't know how to say this. Like, you level with someone, mm-hmm. and I realize a lot of people can't be leveled with. I get sure. that, but for the guys who are trying to describe what they're doing, they're trying to say, look, this is federal law. This is why I believe this is okay. I'm not trying to cause any problems. I'm still doing this by the book federally.
But if you're that person and the officer says, I appreciate what you're saying. However, we have the state law. It's not, he's not there to adjudicate, right? He says, we have the state law. You as the pilot need to say, yes, sir. Right. I mean, you can't, like, you're not going to start a fight.
I will say, yes, sir, but have you read the supremacy clause? Sir, can you go back to your car and Google the supremacy clause?
And if he says, young man, I really appreciate the suggestion, but I don't think I'm going to do that right now. You just need to put your drone away and we can talk about this or whatever.
If he
you
told
need
me
to adhere to that.
If he told me to pack up and leave, frankly, I would. Because I don't, and I understand,
right.
where I don't want to be the guy that fights this.
Of course.
Because at the end of the day, I have realized in this country, if you are a whistleblower or you try to go after something, even though it's wrong, like I give the unions, I've got a big target on my back now because of what I've said about the filming unions.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of really messed up stuff has happened because of that.
Sure.
And I've realized sometimes it's just not worth it. But I also realize that evil only prevails when good men say nothing. So I don't personally want to be the guy that challenges North Carolina. In fact, I will just never fly in North Carolina. It sucks to suck North Carolina because you could be getting tax revenue from that. So anyway, you just ask yourself, like, what are they really after? And, you know, it just also makes me think how difficult governing is. I would never, ever, ever, ever be a politician, because if someone, or even a cop, I really feel bad for cops, because if someone thinks that you interpret a certain subject a certain way and you don't, but they believe you do, and they're still willing to cause harm to you because of an ideological belief, that's scary. What's even scarier is like what they would do not only to you, but your family. And it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. And in all honesty, I've got to give mad props to John Taylor, because even though he knew he was right, and I know I'm right in this case with North Carolina, he's got brass balls.
But there are a lot of states that have laws, have UAS laws of some sort.
Not like North Carolina.
Maybe, maybe not that require you to take an additional test.
And a license and a permit on top of that, which now you're getting into the Commerce Clause issues.
Understand. But anyways, okay. His actual question was, is there anything in Florida similar to what I have to deal with in North Carolina? And there's not, right?
There's not. There are certain places you cannot fly. Again, yes, states can control where you can take off and land, just like National Park Service can control where you take off. Or you cannot take off and land or operate a UAS from a national park. But if you fly into a national park as you're operating it from outside of the national park, that is 100% legal. Period. End of story. 100% legal. In fact, one of our members had the drone pilot field kit and he was flying a national park and he was literally standing 10 feet outside the gate and he got rushed by NPS agents, which it's scary. It's intimidating. Like, you just like start getting nervous because you're like, what am I doing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And even if you know you're not doing anything wrong, it's still nerve wracking. And they had to get their manager out there. They had to get the site manager out there. And he literally was like, I pulled up the drone pilot field kit and was like, here's the NPS law. It does not say that I cannot operate from outside of your jurisdiction and fly in. And the guy was like, threw it at him and said, have a nice day. And it's like, the law is the law.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, just, I get really frustrated and I have to be really careful, because at the end of the day, police officers are humans too. At the end of the day, NPS agents are police officers too. The top NPS UAS guy is a member here at Drone U.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just frustrating because, like, it is so clear in black and white that North Carolina cannot do this. There are literally reports from UNC that say they can't do this, and yet it still happens. And in all honesty, I'm not going to be the guy that fights it.
You could be the guy that fights it. You could also be the guy, and this might be a little bit controversial in terms of trying to stop this kind of thing from happening, but you could also be the guy that just says, I live in North Carolina. I want to work here. I'm going to get it done. Most people probably aren't. I'll just be a step ahead of them. Right? I mean, you might as well, you might say that's conforming or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not cool with that.
Well, but if you live there, you probably would be.
Yeah.
maybe you wouldn't, but you're an anomaly.
That's a whole nother animal.
I know it is. That's why I
mean,
brought
like,
it up.
I'll call the NC State guy right now from the UAS department and be like, hey, you're on the air. What makes you think you have the authority to do drone licensing on the state level?
I'd actually be curious to hear that. I'm not saying call him, please. Paul's mind is churning. He's about to grab his phone. Don't do it. We don't have time.
People know from my webinars, I will do stuff like this. So I have no issue calling people out. But then it goes back to, we're all human. That guy is just trying to have... So if we call that guy, what purpose does it really serve? Because at the end of the day, all he wants is a sustainable paycheck to feed his family, to live the life. And ultimately, he doesn't make the decision. It's higher up.
Sure. Probably. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Yeah.
Anyway.
Indeed.
Anyway.
It's an interesting subject, but our friend Vic can go fly Florida. Just be careful of where. Right?
Yes, totally.
That's kind of the bottom line as far as that part of this is concerned.
100%.
But it is an interesting conversation. It is an important conversation.
And don't forget to check your TFRs. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, President Trump is in Arizona today and you cannot fly any of Phoenix. And if you are, you could be in serious trouble, like really serious trouble. So make sure you check your TFRs, make sure you check your NOTAMs just in case, and always be sure you are in the right airspace. That is so important. And guys, I do not want to advocate or provoke people to fight the North Carolina Department of Transportation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not for that at all. I just wish we could sit down with the governing body and be like, let's sit down and have a conversation, and then bring the FAA in and say, let's sit down and have a conversation. Kind of like how I did in Albuquerque. But even still, even though I corrected that lady, I'm still not benefiting from that office. It's still got massive issues. And then I sit here and think, is it really worth it just going after them? Is it really worth it? I mean, at the end of the day, do I really care?
Yeah.
When we're still churning out content, we're still helping people. And then I just got to ask myself, what is it all about? Why are you doing this?
Right.
Because I want to help people. That's why I had this rough conversation just now, because I want to help people understand what is right. And maybe a couple in North Carolina police officers will hear this and say, huh, that's interesting. I didn't know mm-hmm. that. And maybe we help someone. Maybe we help avoid a confrontation. And if we help avoid one confrontation, I feel like my job here is done.
What I would wonder is if one of those police officers hears this. So now they're sort of in a conundrum, right?
Mm-hmm.
But could they get in trouble for not making sure they keep people from adhering to the
North
Carolina
laws?
How
many times have you seen a police officer make a moral judgment and not go after someone?
Yeah,
and honestly, and that person probably was scared out of their mind and was like, look, I'll never do this again. And maybe, I know not everyone is like this.
Yeah.
I know not everyone is like this, but maybe there were a few times where that cop made a moral judgment and he said, you know what? It is just not worth going after this person. I've had this conversation. I'm going to follow up with this person. And I would love to see, and I know this probably never happened in this country. I would love to see, like, what is it? Post-police confrontation counseling. Like, if a cop decided not to give you a ticket, or if a cop decided not to send you in jail or not to arrest you, that like 7 days later, someone else, like a counselor, followed up with that person and said, like, I'd like to talk about your confrontation, you know, with Officer Dan. I'm going to say Officer Dan because there's actually an Officer Dan here in Albuquerque, but he works for Monster Drift, so he's not a real cop. But anyway, and say, you know, we just wanted to follow up on what happened, and we understand this happened, and we just want to make sure that you're going to live up to your word. You know, like, that could actually have an effect. Maybe,
sure.
Not for all people. You know, a lot of cops out there are probably like, this guy does not know what he's talking about. I do not have experience as a police officer. You guys have more balls than I ever will, period, because of what you do and who you protect, and gosh, just, you are awesome. And anyway, so it's just, again, I really do believe that police are put in the middle. And it's funny because I was pulled over, what was that, 6 weeks ago by an Albuquerque police officer who knew who I was
mm-hmm.
because I've worked for them before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you're still going to give me this ticket? Because, like, I've helped you guys out a whole lot. And he's like, see this thing right here? Pointing to his body camera. And he's like, the public is watching.
Wow.
And that was deep. That I really thought really hard about that.
Yeah.
Because what if someone says, well, you let him off. Why won't you let me off?
Sure. Yeah. Or just, I'm sure those, I don't know. Maybe those camera, that footage gets viewed and they get graded on it. I don't know what those kinds of issues are that they deal with, but that's interesting. That's a whole new element to being a police officer. We don't have time for that.
I know.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I just want to say, first of all, thank you to all police officers out there.
Indeed.
You guys do a service.
You guys rock. In fact, there's a couple that we still need to get on the air to talk about.
No, the guy
because
from Chicago.
We sit here and we talk about we don't do what you do. We don't know what you're thinking. Well, there are people that do that that would love to come tell us.
It was funny, actually. I was talking to another APD officer and I was having a similar conversation like this. And I was like, well, I have a college degree in criminology. And he's like, let me tell you how useful that is. And he was like, how many degrees do you have? And I was like, 3. And he's like, yeah, about that. So, and I was like, you know what? You're right. And I mean, Einstein said it best. The only knowledge is gained by experience.
Indeed.
Anyway, we're going to end on that bombshell. If you have something to say, if you want to respond to this, if you're a North Carolina police officer, I would love to hear from you. Not to arrest me, but I would love to hear I would love to hear your opinion on this.
You're going to have to come all the way to Wyoming to arrest him.
Yeah, Wyoming. Anyway, guys, that is going to do it for us today. I really do want to hear your thoughts on this one. Don't be afraid to chime in to the support desk, support at the Drone U, or in the Facebook community if you are a member, which you should be, because there's a whole lot more information that can help you lower your learning curve. What will happen with North Carolina? I think it's just a matter of time to see if someone challenges it or not. They are the only state to have that issue, and it makes you wonder if it's politically charged. Here's why I say that.
Uh-oh.
I got conspiracy theories here. Ready? This is a conspiracy theory. So North Carolina has a lot of pig farms, and PETA likes to fly drones. PETA likes to fly drones over pig farms. What if they were trying to kill the flying over pig farms for political reasons and they wanted to stop getting press? Thus, they made this, you have to get a permit from the government every single time you fly rule.
And they won't give them one?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I'm not saying,
Stay
but I'm
tuned.
Saying, Bob.
Investigative report. Not coming.
Not coming. I'm not going to North Carolina. So maybe Trace from Quad Talk Podcast can call in and
there
tell us
go.
What he thinks.
Seriously.
Anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone U. And yes, Trace, please let me know what you think about this.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.